Meanwhile, back at the Hall of Justice, our mild-mannered podcasters were bombarded by gamma rays, bitten by radioactive bugs, mutated by toxic waste, irradiated with cosmic rays, born into a world that doesn't understand them.
Hey everybody, it is Wednesday, and welcome to the Talking Comics Podcast. You're listening to episode number 358. I am your host, Steve Say, and joining me this week are Mr. Bob Ryer.
Ooh, Comic-Con is coming.
Melissa Megan is also here.
Shakalaka.
And what?
Okay. NBA Jam you're doing? What is that?
And our special guest for this week, Eisner Award-winning professor, Carolyn Coca.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome back.
It's great to be here.
How are you, Carolyn?
Oh, I'm well, thank you.
Excellent.
I was looking at my calendar, my calendar from 1982, calendar from this year, and I realize I haven't been with you since May.
Has it really
That's
been
crazy.
That long?
Yeah.
It's a little lower for you.
Are you saying I'm short, Melissa?
Yes.
Okay, I am. That's fair.
You're not standing up and recording, are you? Are you in a soundproof
yes.
booth? You're about to
record
your
album? To be the same
album?
Height as Melissa sitting down. I'm standing up.
Are you really?
No!
Steve. No, but to be fair, we're sitting in different chairs, and Carolyn has the low old chair, because I'm not giving that bitch my good chair.
Oh, you gave her the...
This is the kind of hostess we're dealing with.
Yeah. There should be a thing on the side to make your chair higher.
Will you figure that out? I'm going to give everybody a little preview of what we have on this week's show. More of this, obviously. But we're also going to talk a little bit about New York City Comic Con coming up later this week. There's a little something going on over at Melissa's Sirens of Scream. We'll talk about that in a little bit, too. We have some cool comic book news. A couple of teases for shows that we might be doing in the future, and some good old-fashioned comic book talk and other things too, and Dark Phoenix trailer reactions and
Whoa.
Such. Yep,
that's
stay for
tough.
The fireworks, folks, because nobody liked it. I'm just kidding. I don't know that yet. All right. I want to hear about New York City Comic Con because Bronwyn and I will not be attending this year. We are super sad about it.
Yes, we are too.
But you all are going. So let's do a little bit of a NYCC rundown. What are you looking forward to? When are you going to be there?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Oh, you're doing the whole thing.
Doing the whole thing.
Damn. Yeah,
took the time off from work back in April, took off Monday on top of it, figuring I need a day to do a laundry and decompress and do some stuff. It is, for me, that Thursday is always a lot of fun. You mm-hmm. can get some stuff done. You can get to some creators. We can try to ask who might like to be on the show, set some things up. Great way to find some prints and exclusives and those bargains that are there early that tend to disappear. So I have the opportunity, so why not? What's interesting to me is there's so many things now outside the con that I'm trying to figure out what panels and screenings I want to go to. Now you have to make time to get to these places.
Yep.
I can't keep track of them.
I know.
The emails just keep rolling in. I don't know what's happening anymore.
You got to hoof it. You got to hoof it to Madison Square Garden and back. Maybe you got to go to a hotel.
The Hammerstein or whatever.
Hammerstein Ballroom. Yeah. That's where I saw Legion, that panel. That panel was awesome.
Yeah. We just got one today about Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It's man, a whole Cosmos thing.
Oh, I would like to see him.
I want to do that. So, yeah, I've got to take another pass through my panels. So far, panels I found to be nothing special yet except the really big ones. There are tons of great people signing, lots of artists and Artist Alley I need to see and talk to, including Joelle Jones is back, Marguerite Bennett. We've got, Terry Moore, we are talking off air, Steve Orlando, who I'll speak about a little bit later, who's doing a great job on Wonder Woman. My first stop on the Artist Alley floor, though, and they just put the official booth number on it today, is F27, where Sarah Pacelli is sitting.
Ooh.
I need some FF artwork.
Not to burst anyone's bubble, I'm going to look it up, but I'm 99.9% sure that Joelle Jones had to cancel.
Oh,
she was on my list.
I'm going to check for sure, but I could swear that I saw an update from her the other day. While you guys chat, I'm going to look it up so that I don't say this for no reason. Who wants to, Carolyn, what are you looking forward to at the con, like panel wise?
Well, I was thinking I would go Saturday and Sunday for sure, but maybe I'm going to go Friday too. Maybe. But Saturday and Sunday, I'm looking at a panel for Good Omens. It has Neil Gaiman and David Tennant.
Wow.
Something about graphic novels in the classroom. Maybe Daredevil. Maybe Hellboy. There's a panel called Super Asian America. There's Marvel Rising. Black Heroes Matter. Something about the X-Men. Something about the What We Do in the Shadows TV show.
What?
Yeah,
what?
You heard me. Women of Marvel, Doctor Who, a panel, I don't remember what it's called, but it has Raina Telgemeier and Kristen Gudsnuck.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
So that one, yeah.
And then on Friday, yeah, I think I'm probably going to go Friday. There's something about Batman, the animated series.
Wow.
I just decided. there's a panel all about 1968 and the comics from that year. Something called Me Too, Two Times Up, and Queer Cartoonists. So that's my list so far.
Right on. So 5 days ago, this is from Joelle Jones's Twitter account. Due to some unforeseen circumstances, I won't be able to attend NYCC this year. While I am super bummed about it, I hope everyone attending will have a great time.
Ooh.
So I'm sorry. Aww. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but better you hear it from me than some not updated app. So,
yeah, even on their site before I left work, which is 4:30 or so, she was still right in the middle of the page. Walt and Louise Simonson canceled months ago, apparently. Hmm. And it took a while for that to show up. Oh, well, not good.
Kelly Sue's coming now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
Very last minute. Yep. Doesn't have a table. Is going to do some panels, I think.
Mm. Well, we always run into her walking around anyway.
Absolutely.
Well, speaking of, we might as well drop this now. Speaking of Kelly Sue, the recording for the latest Ladies of Valhalla podcast with A.S. King and Kelly Sue DeConnick happened this past weekend. So everybody should look forward to that episode coming out, I believe, around the 12th of this month. I've not heard it yet, but I heard some of the aftermath from it. And it sounded amazing. So definitely check that out. How about you, Melissa? What are you looking forward to at the con?
I'm looking forward to going to the con. I am not nearly as well organized as these two old fogies that I hang out with.
You're just going to wing it?
I go to Comic-Con every year pretty much for Artist Alley and social time. I'm not a panels person just because I don't like to spend that much time standing in line and
word up
waiting. Unless there's a roller coaster inside that door, I don't want to stand in line.
Yeah, that's usually me as well. I hear you.
Yeah, it's just, you know, and I feel like most things now like pop up on the internet 15 minutes after the panel happens. So
not even happens during the panel.
Right. So I'm going to be spending a lot of time at Artist Alley. I am hopefully not going to forget my sketchbook this year, so I can get some new
sketches in it. Take it out now, right now.
I know. You know, I've walked past my bookshelf 5 times this week and said, I should take that out now, and I haven't taken it out yet. So, and a lot of my favorite artists are going to be there again this year. I can't tell you that list because I don't have it in front of me. But there's a lot of people. And I'm super looking forward to really just seeing a lot of my friends and being away for the weekend. And hopefully I will find Kelly Sue in the crowd because I missed Kelly Sue the last time she was on the show, and we need to catch up. We have plans.
Yes. Well, you're the first lieutenant of the Hudson That's Valley right. Resistance.
That's right. And we have plans to make. I guess I will go ahead and throw this out there. Something I'm super looking forward to is our Talking Comics meetup, which happens every year after Comic-Con. And that will be on Saturday night, approximately 7:30 p.m. at the Algonquin, because we keep it classy. Yes, Bob and I and probably Carolyn will probably stick together all weekend, and we'll be gathering there around that time and probably hang out there for a few hours to see who wants to pop in and out. Mm-hmm. I think we may have some surprise visitors this year.
Fingers crossed.
A couple.
Mm-hmm.
Can't tell you. Surprise visitors, and quite a few of our listeners have already chimed in that they'd like to come, so it's going to be super fun.
Are there people coming up to this thing that I don't know about? Because I could swear that we announced them on the show last week. No?
Did we announce them on the show, or did I just talk about it?
I could swear
off-air?
That you did, but this is we're talking about, so who knows?
Well,
anyway,
we're not going to say it anymore.
Guests abound.
My lips are sealed.
Right. And here's the thing. We have people coming from as far away as Australia. Hi, Chris.
Yeah.
Hi, Chris.
Yes. We have some of our locals. We've got Aaron Amos is going to be there. I'm sure.
Hi, Aaron.
Superbad Larry will find his way to the table.
Hey, Kyle. Yeah.
So, sorry. It'll be fun, and maybe we'll even sit at the round table. Who knows?
I think we might need to.
Yes.
I think we might need the seats this year.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, Melissa, at the con, are we going to go see Joe Quinones?
Of course.
Okay.
His mother would not let me live it down if I did not stop and say hi to Joe.
Amazing.
I'm actually going to make sure I bring something and have him autographed. I have his autograph on the wall twice already, but I'll bring an actual book.
Is this a good time for me to talk about who else I'm going to look for there, because I have artwork that I need to have signed?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
So our friend Caitlin Yarsky... she did some amazing new artwork for my Sirens podcast that she just gave to us today. And I'm gonna try and find, I know she's going to be attending the show on Saturday, I believe, but she's not going to be at a booth. So you got to have your eyes sharp if you want to find Caitlin. She's hiding in the crowd. But I'm going to hook up with her and visit her. I know that Bob, maybe you can find Sean. He's going to be there on Thursday and Friday.
Okay.
And I think he's going to be signing at a couple booths. I will send you that info.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'll add it to my list. Sure.
Yeah. So watch for, you don't have to watch for it. We've been posting it all day long. The new artwork from Caitlin.
It is gorgeous. So it's really gorgeous. It.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I miss having artwork. I was telling Melissa earlier today, I miss having our characters. We should get new ones. I think that'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not this minimalistic, unified garbage. I'm just kidding. I actually like the new designs too, but I miss having my superhero up there.
Steve, so I still have two of those shirts, two of the t-shirts.
Oh, so do I.
One's still bagged away. It's never been worn.
Oh, vintage.
And the other gets brought out, you know, once every couple of weeks or whatever. It'll come out during the con. People get to see it. It gets hand washed in the sink in a gentle cycle and hung dry over one of those wooden racks in the bathtub. It still looks pretty good for 6 years old.
I wonder if we still have a store. I would like a mug. I would definitely like a coffee mug for my
your
tea.
Your birthday's coming
Aim
up.
Aim high, right? Steve.
Yeah.
I never got a Talking Comic shirt, but I do still have my Misfit shirt.
I also have a Misfit shirt.
I have two. I think Bobby has a sweatshirt.
Wow.
Maybe not. No, yeah, anyway, I think
make
he does.
New shirts. That's what the conclusion
we,
you should
we
be
need
coming
more
to.
Loot.
Yeah. So we should have a meeting about maybe making a little bit of money.
You know, every
beer
year,
cozy. I like beer.
Beer cozy. Every year when we go to Comic-Con too, what do we end up saying? Every freaking year, Bob, we should have new business cards for Talking Comics, because everybody we talk to wants to know how to reach us. And like, here we are again, 4 days away from Comic-Con, and no business cards.
It's the last thing that anybody thinks of.
We are the most organized people around.
No.
All right, we're going to move on.
You are wrong, sir. I was at Staples just 3 weeks ago, and I had them made up last year, and they redid them a little bit this year. It's one quarter of what we had before. Remember, we each had individual cards with our little superheroes?
Yeah.
Well, I had them. I've got a whole box of them. I've got a whole box of mine. And recast so creators can actually write their name on the back. There's lots of extra space.
Okay, but your newer co-hosts don't have their own superhero cards.
We need to find an artist while we're wandering through Artist Alley who might want to participate in this process, I'm saying.
I'll draw them. They'll be amazing. I'm just kidding. Let's move on. Everybody have a great time at the con. Many of us will be there, and we hope to see you. Stay safe. Don't talk to anybody weird. All right.
What? That's what I go for.
Exactly.
Before we get to our lightning rounds, Melissa, tell us about what you have going on over at Sirens of Scream with the 31 Days of Horror.
Oh, yeah. Yesterday was our biggest episode of the year. It is so much fun. 31 Days of Horror. This is our third year doing it. And I wanted to tell you guys about it because this year, for the first time, we opened it up to comic books.
What?
Yeah. So now we have movies. We opened it up to comic books and TV shows. Because it's hard 3 years in a row to make a list of 31 of the best horror movies when you have three people coming up with ideas. So it's super awesome. We basically try to give you guys we try to make a list of things that like you can binge. So you whatever we put to that list is possible that you could like cover it in one day.
Did you post the whole list?
What?
Is the whole list posted, or do you like reveal it each day?
No, I don't know what we did this time. I think we might post it in the show notes, but I will confirm that for you.
Because that would be interesting. Can you give us a taste of what's on the
list?
Why
don't you listen to the show and then you'll hear it, Steve?
Because I am a busy and important person. I'm just kidding. I can listen to it. I just want to know if you can tease the listeners with a little bit of what you'd recommend.
I'm looking at it now. No, we did not list we did not list it this
year.
All
right, go listen to the show.
You have to listen.
You're going to have to listen. I did talk about one of the comic book series that I talked about is going to be talked about tonight by you, Steve. That's on my list.
Ooh.
Probably the comics that I talk about are Talking Comics listeners have heard me ramble about because they're my favorite comic book horror series. So, but it's super fun to share that stuff on the Sirens because those girls are not, you know, they don't read comics as often as I do. And so it's really extra fun to kind of like open them to new series. And one of the series that I mentioned on my list is Infidel, which we've talked about quite a bit on this show. And I immediately shared the new trade that just came out from Infidel. Is it last week or maybe it's this week?
Last week,
the new trade came out. And so I shared that with the girls right away, and they are in the process of reading it for the first time.
Sweet.
So that's fun. Yeah.
Yeah, there's lots of good horror comics this year, like a crazy amount of them.
There are. It was hard for me to like name movies at that point when they said, yeah, let's do comics this year. I was like, all right, I got a list.
All I can say is, Steve, the list has been, I've listened to all three, and there's so many movies that I now count as favorites, like The Babadook, that I wouldn't have found without The Sirens.
Oh, I just watched that the other day.
Oh, creepy as hell.
Yeah. I guess a tease for that too. We're doing a month-long presentation of our favorite scary movies on Joe Blow, and my movie for the list is The Babadook. So that'll be coming out in a little while.
It's a great one.
It's like the fifth or sixth time that I've seen that movie now, and that movie still gets to me. It's so good on so many levels. I love it. I really, really, really love it.
Yeah, I got It Follows.
I've still not
which
seen
I hadn't
that.
Seen before. Oh, that was great. Don't Breathe, which was one of the great. And what was the other?
It sounds like Steve needs to catch up on 31 Days of Horror.
Yeah, and your next, your next, Melissa, which I think was one of your picks.
Yeah, that one's great.
It is like the
is
greatest.
That actually good.
It's one of the greatest home
really
invasion
good.
Movies ever. If you like
Steve,
that genre,
think,
that's the
I
one to see.
I think you'll appreciate it too, because that one has a really strong like musical theme to it.
Yes,
it's got some great music in it.
It's called Your Next.
Your next.
Okay.
All right, home invasion. I think it has Liv Tyler in it, didn't it?
Oh boy.
I don't remember.
Is she amazing in the movie?
I feel like it
she
might have
crazy.
Liv Tyler.
I think I have to look that one up. I'm not sure. Could be.
All right.
Anyway, great. It's got a great musical thing running through it, and I think you'll appreciate that very much.
I will appreciate it. I will appreciate the hell out of it. All right. Let's get to some comic books. Real reason why everybody's here. Who wants to go first? Should we have Carolyn go first?
Mm-hmm.
That was
swallow that beer. Swallow that
not
beer.
What it says on the document.
There is no particular order.
That.
You son of a bitch.
That's right. You have a lot of books that I want to hear about. That's why.
Okay.
All righty. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. I'm going to put 5 minutes on the clock for you. Ready, set, go.
Batman Beyond 24 by Dan Jurgens and Will Conrad. I usually talk about this book here. So it's Batman, and that is Batman Terry McGinnis and his Robin, plus Bruce, Commissioner Babs, Scarecrow, Royal Flush Gang. They're all represented.
Wow.
I don't want to say too much because it's the conclusion to an arc. I'm just going to say it's a good arc. It's a good book. I think more people should be reading it. All right, number two. The 10th Doctor, The Ghost Ship Number 1, Road to the 13th Doctor, by Jody Hauser and Rachel Stott and Enrica Angiolini. I wish Joey was here. So it's David Tennant's Doctor. So I'm in. He's my doctor. You don't like it, fight me. He has two companions in this story, Gabby Gonzalez and Cindy Wu, who are young women from New York City. And there's a ship with ghosts, hence the name. What else do you need to know? If you like The 10th Doctor, it's fun. All right, next. My Little Pony, Ponyville Mysteries, number 5, Christina Rice, Agnes Garbowska, Heather Breckel. This Ponyville Mysteries series is about the Cutie Mark Crusaders. If you're not familiar, they're the three younger ponies, like the little sisters of the main six ponies. They're like the girl sleuth.
The Nancy girl Drew as a pony. Series. I love
it's
it.
That genre. And this particular one is basically the Maltese Falcon. Number 4 was stronger, but this one's good too. And another My Little Pony came out a few weeks ago, but I don't care. I'm going to mention it anyway. My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, number 70 by Jeremy Whitley. Tony Casisto, Heather Breckel. It's Granny Smith, who, if you don't know, is Applejack's grandmother, and three other
amazing.
Older ponies. And together they call themselves the Golden Horseshoe Gals. Come on, who are we kidding? It's the Golden Girls. Yeah. It's delightful. And it's Whitley.
Wow.
Okay. Next.
We already did it once.
I don't care.
You could do it as much as you want.
All right, next. Faith Dreamside, number 1. Also by Jody Hauser. That 10th Doctor I mentioned before was by Jody Hauser. So Faith Dreamside, number 1. Jody Hauser, MJ Kim, Jordi Belair. What Faith is thinking here, and well, she says it, is how do people live their lives and not try to solve every problem they come across? That's what this is about. She's been framed for murder, so she can't be her superhero self, but she can't help it. And then she gets arrested, and then someone helps her out of that. I won't say who it is, spoiler wise. And then the two of them meet up with a character. Awesome last page reveal. It's a character that from this universe that's been mentioned on this podcast many times. I'll tell you later if you want to know, but I won't reveal it now.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Next. Buffy season 12, number 4 of 4. Story by Joss Whedon and Christos Gage. Script by Gage. Pencils by Georges Gianti. Inks by Carl Story, Dexter Vines, Andy Owens. Colors by Dan Jackson. Ugh. Like Batman Beyond, I do tend to talk about Buffy comics when I'm here, and I think this might really be it. This might be the last one. And in short, it's everybody in the Buffy universe in one comic. There's Frey from the future. There's the mayor. Who doesn't love the mayor? There's Illyria. There's Faith. There's all the usual Scooby gang and vampires. And it's bringing all together all the themes of the series, the TV series, the comic series, teamwork, family, love, fighting as hard as you can to change the world for the better. So it's worth a look. It's a great message and a heartening one. Okay, now my last, how much time do I have?
You have 1:26.
No problem. Okay, two books. One is really comics adjacent. It's called Refrigerator Monologues by Catherine Valenti. Illustrations by Annie Wu from 2017. This book is dedicated to Gail Simone, and it has a blurb by Kelly Sue DeConnick. It has its own completely made up superhero universe, but each chapter has a familiar story, because each chapter is the story of a female character that you'll recognize. You'll recognize who they were and how they died or were otherwise mistreated, but the stories are told from their point of view, illuminating their inner lives and making them actual characters instead of plot devices. In other words, women who were fridged, who were killed or otherwise wounded or hurt to further a male character's story. The chapter that's basically Jean Grey is the standout, but they're all good. There's one about Harley Quinn. There's one about Gwen Stacy. Even if you don't know who they are, the stories are a good read. And lastly, I read a book that's actually 10 years old called Secret Identities, the Asian American Superhero Anthology. It's from 2009, edited by Jeff Yang. Keith Chow, sorry, and Jenny Ma. And basically, it's got about 50 shorts in it. They're all black and white. They're all by Asian American writers and artists. Some of them are like really earnest, kind of fighting against stereotypes. Some of them are funny. Some of them are historically based. The real standout is called The Y Men, and it's kind of like a spoof of the X-Men, but it's also slice of life at the same time. If you go to the website, secretidentities.org, there's the motion comic of the Y-Men comic. So you can watch it for a couple minutes to check it out. And there are some names in here that you'll probably know. Greg Pak, Jean Luen Yang, Ming Doyle, Dustin Nguyen, Cliff Chang, and a lot of people that you probably haven't heard of. So I would say check it out.
Sweet.
Awesome.
Done.
Who publishes Refrigerator Monologues?
Great title, by the way.
Saga Press, which is an imprint of Simon and Schuster.
Okay.
Saga.
Oh, Saga. Why?
Why?
I was waiting for that.
And is Buffy coming to an end as a comic book? Is that what's going on over there?
That is my understanding. Was an abbreviated season.
Didn't they lose the rights to publish Buffy recently?
I don't know. I thought Fox still had the rights. And I had thought that IDW had the rights.
Yeah.
When I was doing my book, I was asking for permission. In case anybody was ever wondering, if you've read my book, why there are no comic pictures in it, it's because every company denied me permission to use pictures. There are lots of screen grabs from TV shows and movies because those are considered fair use and I didn't need permission for them. But the point is, I called IDW for permission to reprint Buffy stuff and they told me to deal with Fox. That's who owns it.
All right. The worm continues to turn. Let's move on to another person. How about Bob? Would you like to make with a lightning round?
Sure.
Fantastic. I'm going to put 5 minutes on the clock for you, sir. And go.
Well, friends, it is once again time to enter the Gail Simone Zone. This week, it's all about Domino Annual Number 1, which boasts not only a hilarious story by Ms. Simone and Victor Ibanez featuring Inez Temple, a.k.a. Outlaw. The issue also has Fabian Nicieza, Juan Gideon, Dennis Hopeless, Leonard Kirk, Leah Williams, Michael Shelper, and Natasha Bustos. And Steve, Ms. Bustos draws a fantastic dupe that is positively already in.
Oh, I've seen it.
It's tons of good-natured black humor, lots of heart, too. Just a super, super fun read. Speaking of all those artists, only because of the artwork, I took a flyer on Justice League Odyssey by Joshua Williamson and Stepan Sejic. It's all very cosmic, as a team of Green Lantern, Jessica Cruz, Cyborg, Starfire, Azrael, and a mystery guest try to make sense out of strange voices and ancient prophecies. Now, I haven't been following Justice League or the DC events, so I couldn't make head nor tails out of their mysteries either. There was an intriguing ending, and the art is glorious. So I might pick up the trade down the road, because this is not a bad book, mind you. It's just so steeped in the current arcs and continuity that I'm sure its subtleties are lost on me entirely. But I really did enjoy it, and I really do want to try to sort it out eventually. Speaking of dense books, Doomsday Clock number 7 by Jeff Johns and Gary Frank is packed to the gills with stuff. Now, don't get freaked out here, but I genuinely enjoyed this issue.
Hey.
Perhaps this is where they've turned the corner in how the Watchmen mythos and DC continuity have intersected. And if they have, this could turn out to be the special event DC touted all those decades ago when issue number 1 came out. I love this issue.
Whoa.
Yes. On the lighter side, and one that touches on the previous book in some strange way, was Scooby-Doo Team-Up number 39 by Sholly Fish and Fabian Ruzuela that finds the Mystery Inc. kids teaming up with the legendary Justice Society of America for an adventure set back during World War II. Can the immortal villain Vandal Savage use Pandora's Box to help the Nazis demoralize and then defeat the United States? Not if these meddling kids have anything to say about it. Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur by Brandon Montclair and Natasha Bustos, Tamra Bonvillon, is always a delight, and issue 35 was no exception. Lunella and Devil, well, he's Devin now because he's now a 9-year-old boy, more about that later, have to take on the evil Wrecking Crew, who are out to demolish PS20, perhaps on the orders of the mayor of New York himself. If you have a younger comics reader in your house and you're seeking a way to introduce them to the Marvel Universe, you can't do any better than Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. Lastly, there's Batgirl 27 by Magreed Scott, Paul Pelletier, and Jordi Belair. The second part of the Art of the Crime story arc, and as with the other issues at this beginning to Ms. Scott's run on Batgirl, there's a lot to enjoy here. Although I do have a few quibbles that I hope Carolyn will opine upon. There's a creepy antagonist with an even worse motive, an old-fashioned shock reveal, a new take on fridging, and what I thought was a nice portrayal of Barbara's vaunted courage, intelligence, and determination. Now on to my sticking points. While the new costume by Shorten Gordon Murphy is stylish, it is also far less practical than the Cameron Stewart Babstar Burnside model, what with the top part of Barbara's hair flying all over the lot and a huge belt. And speaking of that belt, I find the placement of it as well as her new chest symbol to be a bit problematic, shall we say. A more important story point that irked me, I know that superheroes have to struggle superheroically against their problems, but I do find it troubling that in each of the last two writers' runs, they've attacked Barbara's mind, intellect, and eidetic memory, going after the very essence of her as a person and a hero. Just saying. So, that's it for me.
Is that a drum roll? What are you doing over there?
That was a drum roll. I was hoping for... Okay.
Please don't drum roll on the podcast.
Okay.
Okay, wow. Lots to digest from that. I don't know where to start. I read Justice League Odyssey, and hard same on pretty much everything you said. My thoughts were coming out of your mouth just now.
Okay.
Particularly in, like, I've read Justice League here and there, but nothing really ever grabbed me long enough to stay in it. And there's so much, and not even just from Justice League, but from the metal stuff too.
Yeah.
So I had like a small inkling, because I think I read the first three issues of the metal event. And then, so I have a vague recollection of what the source wall is and what happened to it and stuff like that. But it's one of those things where if you missed that, so much stuff. I didn't know that was going to be like a hard story point for DC going forward. Like, a lot of stuff now ties back to that. So I don't know. I should probably go back and read it just to know what's what. But I don't know. I always feel so lost in their event stuff.
Yeah, it's hard. There were so many issues that went after Metal and the sidebar issues with the individual characters. I gave up after one, which I didn't care much for one either. But
yeah, I mean, I read Odyssey twice now. I read it on Wednesday, then again last night. And I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous, of course. And it did play better for me on a second round, but I do agree that if you're going to read it, like, it is, know that it is dense, but it might be worth the journey considering how absolutely gorgeous it is. And also it's well written and well researched. Like, I have no doubt that Joshua Williamson, like, orchestrated a really cool story. I just don't know all the ins and outs of it, so I can't play like some other people can.
Absolutely.
But I mean, you know, who knows? Like you said, maybe when it's all together, or I could read those other stories, it'll really be something to look forward to. And Domino, of course, was wonderful. I caught up with the issue before that, and then the annual, and that series has just been amazing from the start. It's so much fun, and those characters are a blast. And Carolyn, you checked out Batgirl. Do you want to maybe join Bob in some discussion?
Well, I agree with Bob on what he said on Scooby-Doo and what he said on Batgirl. So which one should I talk about first? Bob, do you care?
Whichever you feel the most passion for early. Whichever, however you want to do it.
I feel the most passion for Scooby-Doo.
Nice. Go.
Okay, so Scooby-Doo team-up is just delightful. Like, I don't think I have read a bad issue of this series, and I've been reading it now for years with my daughter, and I will read it without her, too.
I would think, yeah.
So, they just totally nail the Scooby characters, and they nail every guest star every week. And here they're nailing Nazi Vandal Savage.
Yes.
And I like how they do a nod to the Secretary of the Justice Society thing. Yeah. You know, that was a big debate between Wonder Woman's creator, William Moulton Marston, and the person who wrote JSA, which was Gardner Fox.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. So he wanted Wonder Woman to be the secretary, and, you know, it was a thing. And I, okay, I'll skip over that. But I think that just the whole theme of it, not only is it adorable, and they just do all the characters so well, but they come across with this message about, let's think about how sometimes when we're afraid, we might demonize or scapegoat certain groups of people, and maybe we should not do that again, especially if we call ourselves part of a Justice League or a Justice Society, you know? And so it's all just about the power of hope. And I just did want to add for Joey that the next issue, Swamp Thing is on the cover, but Solomon Grundy, born on a Monday, is in it too.
Yeah.
And a couple issues ago, there was an issue with Supergirl. And then a couple before that was the Birds of Prey. Daphne joins the Birds of Prey as Redbird, and Velma joins as the Raven. And Scooby is Bird Dog.
Of course he would be. I didn't catch that one. I'm going to have to find that one.
It's so good.
What number is that? Was that 36 or something like that?
It's 34.
34,
but if you read it digitally, it's 67 and 68.
Okay. And a little...
I want the Hunter S. Thompson issue. That's what I want.
A couple of issues out, it's a Doom Patrol issue, too.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
But somehow they make the characters all fit together.
Mm-hmm.
Even when you think it wouldn't work, it does. And they also have just other fun ones that are not people we talk about every week. Like, they had one with Hong Kong Fooey. I mean, awesome.
Well, please. Yeah, that's got to be great.
Yeah. In terms of Batgirl, I love Batgirl. I love Barbara Gordon. I want to love this book. And I don't. I liked that there was kind of an interesting reflection on how her father didn't want her to be using a wheelchair, and she kind of pushed back against that, like, hey, what's wrong with being in a wheelchair, mm-hmm. using a wheelchair? You know, people live with disabilities. Otherwise, I felt like the running internal monologue was just like, you're telling and telling and telling and not showing. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like exactly what Bob also didn't like, which is that you've spent a couple years now just trying to take away what makes her special, whether it's her memory or her martial arts abilities, whatever. So either don't have her have this implant and have her be in the wheelchair and be Oracle, but don't keep playing with it and going back and forth like, oh no, the thing that's helping me walk is shorting out. I'm scared now, yeah. But then it's fine 2 issues later. And the idea that, like, she just can't have the ability to walk and have her memory work at the same time just bugs me.
I agree.
The new costume, I agree that flowing hair and tiny bat ears that stick out of the hair make zero sense. And it's kind of like they're trying to combine her more recent costumes with the Batgirl Year One costume.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of feels like instead of being comfortable with older, established, confident PhD, Congresswoman Barbara Gordon or Oracle, they just are more comfortable with keep showing us over and over a girl who's just starting out, who's kind of insecure, who doesn't really know what she's doing. And we've had that for a couple years now, and that's what she's been in animated form for 20 years. And I'm just getting tired of it. So I just was disappointed, and I know I've gone on at length about this, but that's only because I really care about the character.
Obviously, no, it shows.
Yeah, I figured you would. No, I figured you would, Carolyn. There are some lovely things here.
Yeah, there are.
But the negatives are, and they're all pointing in a not great direction, is what I'm really scared for.
It just seems to be recapitulating stuff. Mm-hmm. And she's framed for murder. And it's like, we did this. Bruce Wayne murderer.
Yeah.
And we don't need to do it. Barbara Gordon murderer.
No. When you look at the character as Barbara as Oracle, who could basically be the information broker for the entire DC universe, who could have every superhero on her team at her call when needed. She was that important and that well respected, and was in a wheelchair, but not even differently able, completely able to do whatever she wanted, including taking out the Joker more than once, beating back super spies, doing everything she needed, and still being Barbara in her mind and all the other things that worked. And to have it be picked at, it's like the death from a thousand cuts all the time here. It's tiresome.
Yeah, I mean, the part about, I don't remember how many arcs ago it was, but like, in order to concentrate on fighting physically, she had to switch off her memory.
Yes.
Like, you can't use your brain and your body at the same time. That's too much for a lady. Come on.
Yeah, it's that Victorian idea of the Invisible Girl fainting when she used her powers that Trina Robbins talks about.
It's too much for me, I'm just going to say.
Well, you've had a long day.
Well, this is like, I'll be over here with my indie books.
I'm doing one thing at a time over here.
Well,
but Melissa, I would recommend Scooby-Doo Team Up.
Yeah, Scooby-Doo Team
Up. It is just super solid, every issue. It's fun. It has nice messages. It has teamwork. There's a little bit of suspense, but it's just fun.
Is it spooky?
It is sometimes, depending on who the guest star is.
All right, Melissa, are you ready to deliver your lightning round?
I am ready.
Fantastic. Let's put 5 minutes on the clock for you and go.
All right, guys. First, we're going to talk about Batman.
Oh, what?
I know.
Guess.
I've now read.
Is it because he was naked last week?
No, I didn't read that one. I didn't read that one, but I did look it up to make sure I saw it. I've now read more than one DC book this year. What is happening to me?
What? You're fine. You'll live.
Okay.
Go on.
Anyway, I've rambled on here before about how much I'm in love with things that Sean Murphy creates, and I once may have dragged Bob back and forth to his booth at a small con repeatedly until I eventually timed it just right to get a book signed. I really love what Sean Murphy makes. That said, I haven't been interested in reading Batman books in a few years, so I was really resistant to this at first. Then I kept hearing incredible images that kept seeing incredible images and hearing it was so good, Steve. Then Comixology was all, hey, you can have issue number one for free. So I read it. And it's pretty rad. I missed Murphy's art so much. I haven't seen anything from him for a while because he's doing Batman. So I'm on issue 3 now, and we'll probably grab volume 1 when it shows up in stores this week. I knew that the story would be different, gritty, full of tormented relationships and twisted motives, because that's what I know Murphy does so well. I know all that stuff sounds just like normal Batman, but there is a certain edge of unadulterated human flaw that Murphy adorns his characters with, and that has obviously done wonders for old Gotham crew. Drug overdoses, complicated, possibly homoerotic clown bat love, sand shooters, and Jester Harley sounding sane. These are all crazy things that I love in this book. So thank you for making Batman new again, Sean. I'm sorry I ever doubted you. The next one I want to talk about is completely different than Batman White Knight. And that is a little graphic novel I found called Alice from Dream to Dream. It's from Boom's Boombox imprint. This is well written and drawn. I'm going to mess up this name. I need Joey for these things. Yeah. Well written and drawn by Giulio Macchioni. I don't know, guys. You're going to have to Google it. I can't do it. At its heart, it's a touching story about a 15-year-old girl named Alice who has had to struggle through moving to a new city, then moving back again after a long absence, trying to fit in and generally surviving the perils of teen growth. One of the hardest parts of that is that she's stuck in sharing a room with her older brother, which is terrible at 15.
Yeah.
Floating above this side of Alice from dream to dream is a supernatural mystery. Alice shares the dreams of whoever she's sleeping near, and she begins having weird visions when she's awake and eventually walks into someone else's coma dream where real world secrets are exposed. This story feels really sweet and innocent at times. It really captures the fear in being a teenager dealing with family drama and grasping desperately at some semblance of safety in relationships. I couldn't put this book down, even though I can't really explain why I picked it up to begin with, because it's not the type of thing that I would normally grab. I think that's what I appreciate about it the most, is that it's not what it seems. It's not just a story of teen angst and fights with parents. It's more of a study in human vulnerability. So it's a really beautiful story. And the last one I'm going to talk about briefly is Regression. The Regression number 11 is coming out this week, which is the final in this series. So I just wanted to, and I've been catching up with it for like the last 2 days, reading it nonstop. This is from Cullen Bunn, who I feel like we mention at least once a week on the show.
As we should.
It's got art by Danny Luckert and cover by Marie Enger. This is a horrifying and super scary series about it's about past lives. Sorry guys, this is the one I did not have time to write my nice notes for like I usually do. It's about past lives. It's about a guy named Adrian who is he's having these really horrible visions of bugs everywhere. Nasty bugs coming out of faces and bugs and food and bugs everywhere. It's disgusting. And he tries hypnotherapy to help him figure out what's going on, and you know, spoiler alert, it doesn't go so well because it's a horror series. So Adrian basically figures out that he's got some kind of weird past life attachment to a really creepy dude who's wrapped up in the occult. And things just keep getting worse. And this is... I'm not done yet. And this is
says you're done.
this is a really, really cool... I think this is like... You know, next to Harrow County, this is definitely one of Cullen Bunn's like best examples of like nasty, uncomfortable body horror grossness. And the art is definitely up to par for this kind of story. It's just disgusting to look at sometimes.
Oh, God.
I just showed
Carolyn. She's putting things on the screen that are things I don't like to see on screens or in books or anywhere ever.
Millipedes.
Yes. Millipedes, spiders, worms.
Stop now.
All kinds of nasty things. Anyway,
put that away.
It's a great story. It wraps up, you know, this concept of like past lives and the concept of like going into your brain to sort of like turn things off and on, and a creepy occult satanic sort of story. But it's really, really fun. And I think it's one of the best horror series that I've read this year. So I'm really glad that I'm catching up with it. And you guys should too, because it's ending this week.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
I read, what did I read? I read like the first 4 or 5 issues of it. It was really good. I would definitely check it out. You said it's ending this coming week?
Yep, number 11 is supposed to be the final episode or issue. Why do I always do that?
Issue. It's a very easy thing to mix up. I do it all the time. That's awesome. I will. I'll definitely be collecting that and finishing it up.
Yeah, Carolyn, you read Alice, right?
Yeah, I would not have looked at it if Melissa hadn't told me to. So I just want to put in a word for it as well. I guess it was... The original version was in Italian because the credits credit someone with adapting it to English. But the characters are well-rounded, fully realized. They really have the dynamics of high school and between teenagers and parents. It's an interesting premise. Comics themselves are part of the story, too. There are people in this characters in the story that like comics, and it's kind of about you can be crying and scared and sad and strong and brave all at the same time, and boys and girls can actually be friends, which is an important message. Overall, really well done. I would say like tweens and up. Melissa might disagree with me on that, but there's some kind of sad stuff and creepy stuff. I'm not sure how younger kids would react to that. But yeah, highly recommended.
Sweet. I actually purchased that last week, but have not read it yet. I was excited.
Yeah,
to see that
it's
was
a
on
quick read. I read it all really quickly in one sitting.
Yeah, I did too.
What is it, like 100 and so pages?
148.
There you go. Sweet. Sounds pretty cool. You said Boom put that out?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
On the boombox.
Boombox, yeah.
Right on. Very cool. Alrighty. I guess it's my turn.
It is. All right,
I'm gonna put five minutes on the clock for myself. Go. I've only got 2 titles for you this week because I've been spending much of my time watching advanced episodes of Chilling Adventures of Sabrina on the Netflix. I've seen 8 of the 10 episodes so far, and it comes out on October 26th. If you're interested in watching it, you definitely should. I'll have more to say on that in 2 weeks from now, so stay tuned. Heroes in Crisis, number 1, written by Tom King, art by Clay Mann, colors by Tomu More, and letters by Clayton Cowles. Tom King is at it again, or at least he is for me. In my travels online, I've heard tale that some readers do not care for Mr. King's new series, and I have even gone so far as to send him death threats on account of not liking the book. To them I say this, grow up. So what exactly is going on in Heroes of Crisis number 1? I'm glad you asked. You see, there's a robotic super reality therapist named Sanctuary that, in some way or another, has caused some of DC's most damaged, quote-unquote, heroes and villains to get real murdery. But what is Sanctuary made of, you say? Well, my friends, it's built with... I'll just use my voice. Well, my friends, it's built with Kryptonian tech. It's infused with the will of Batman, the compassion of Wonder Woman, and the honor of Superman. Obviously, Sanctuary has not seen Man of Steel. Heyo! Anyway, I think this book is really cool so far. There are these hardcore emotional beats peppered throughout the book by way of one-on-one interviews with the cast. And thanks to the power of King's 9-panel planning, there's lots of room for funny moments to turn sour as characters confess to the insidious AI their deepest and darkest. Just like King has broken down the bat since June of 2016, I can't believe it's been that long, and has done it differently, he invokes the same level of care with nearly every character in the book. I really dig it. It entertains me. Moving on. The art by Clayman is positively stunning. His attention to detail really serves to drive stakes through your heart as characters are found cracking at the seams. Moray is also incredible here, with the colors doing a lot not just to make the characters look good, but to also change the tone and tenor of the book as we jump between confessions, chaos, and the Trinity discovering that what they've made has been a terrible mistake. It's really, really good. Moving right along, Gideon Falls. So this is written by Jeff Lemire, art by Andrea Sorrentino, colors by Dave Stewart, letters and design by Steve Wands. I have something cool coming up related to this. More on that next week, but that was the reason why I went back to revisit the series. So Gideon Falls is the best. We've already talked about the series several times here on the podcast, so I will not keep you for too long. The book starts off being about Father Fred, a preacher who's new to the town of Gideon Falls, and a paranoid schizophrenic garbage picker named Norman Sinclair. As the events of the book play out, we find a close-knit group of near strangers all having visions of a place known as the Black Barn. Do I need to tell you that it's evil with a name like the Black Barn?
No. Yes.
Yeah, so I've read 1-6, which is the first arc, and then an advanced copy of 7. What I can tell you is this. At this point in the story, you can really see how each of the individual threads are coming to be a part of the same quilt, if you will. Also, the story just keeps getting stranger, and the relationships shared between characters are deepening. And so now there's like a bit of relationship drama on top of all the supernatural aspects of the book. You're essentially watching a group of scarred individuals finding solace in one another as reality is crumbling down around them. It's really good stuff. Gideon Falls. Read it to your kids. Wow.
For birthday parties.
Yeah.
And 38 seconds left.
Read it in the bouncy house. It'll be great.
Look at me with the spare time. All right. Yeah,
so super Heroes cool. in Crisis has death threats attached to it now.
Yeah, because everybody's it's absurd.
Okay.
People are out of control, Bob. They think they can do whatever they want, say whatever they want to whomever they want, and it's just be a better human being. Like, just stop it
time's
already.
Up. Time's up, Steve. Time's up.
Stop it already. Stop it already.
Stop with the lecture.
So sick of it. Every day. Every day people are terrible.
Rage.
Yep. Rage. Yep. I hate it. I'm in it all the time.
Rage.
Everybody's in it all the time. You can't get away from it. All right. Let's go to open discussion. What do you have for open discussion this week? Bob, would you like to lead us in a little bit of talk?
On?
Well,
fine.
Let's go with Modern Fantasy.
Okay. Modern Fantasy number 4 is by Rafer Roberts and Kristen Gudsnuck. It is from Dark Horse Comics. It's the finale of this charmingly meta miniseries. And as all fantasy quests seem to end, this winds up with a big bad, in this case, a fire demon at the Battle of God's Helm Mall. For me, this was a perfect way to finish, as we had tons of action added to the usual heart and humor, and both of those in great evidence, even within the battle. You see Sage of the Riverlands evade a blow, and the sound effect is duck or dodge. Not to mention all the little chicken fat and the various signs and stuff. There is something we can see about young Sage. Is a little bit of backstory that sets up her character beautifully for a second read, if you want to come through it again. I mean, kudos to Rafer and Kristen. She was hoping for a second volume, because the way this played itself out as a LARPing world, but they have real jobs. The Sage is a data entry clerk. It was something so different and just enveloping. I just really dug the heck out of it. What did you think of issue 4, Steve?
I laughed for a good 3 minutes solid from like the very first page when you see the baby with the dagger crawling around in the grass.
For the mom taking a picture. Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's the part. Okay, let me explain this for a second. I don't know why, but my eye was drawn so much to that image. I was cracking up. Like, I zeroed in on that baby, and I didn't see the mom necessarily, even though she's right there. I look, blew right past it. And I'm like, is there just a child crawling around with, like, some kind of weighted belt and a dagger? What is happening right here? And then eventually I saw the mother taking the picture. I was like, oh, okay.
It's that. But,
oh, man. But that image alone had me going for a while. Bronwyn was like, are you okay? I'm like, I'll be fine.
What about Sage? Young Sage on that page is riding a giant duck-billed platypus into battle.
Yes.
You don't see that often.
I won't spoil the ending, but man, that last page, that was another thing that had me cracking up. The reality, the dawning of reality, so to speak. Just a super fun series all around. I would love to see another arc with those characters and have them maybe like go like travel somewhere or something like that, or get sucked through a portal and they have to, I don't know. We'll see. It would be cool if we find out that something else is going on with that for sure.
Yeah. Great little book. Absolutely. Trade comes soon.
Mm-hmm. All right. Bob, why don't we go, we'll save the other one for last. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Wonder Woman number 55?
Okay. Wonder Woman number 55, as Steve mentioned, is out this week. It is Steve Orlando, Raul Allen, Patricia Martin, Borja Pindado on colors, and Saida Timofonte on letters. It's the final issue of Steve Orlando's brief run on this title, and he has produced some absolutely, pun intended, wonderful issues, all of which, at one level or another, has showcased beautifully those core values of Diana that true fans of the Amazon Princess find most appealing. Yes, she's a warrior, but she hopes for peace first, always strives to see the best in everyone, foes included. Now, for me, bookended with Shea Fontana's Heart of the Amazon and trying to forget the run that must not be named that comes in between, the through line from Greg Rucka to G. Willow Wilson's run that will begin soon, to me, it just runs absolutely straight and true. This is an issue I don't want to spoil anything about, really, but in this particular book, Diana finds herself grappling with seemingly intractable forces, with Artemis and the Bonnie McDowell, Rustum, Queen Faruka, but she's Wonder Woman. And Steve Orlando understands what that means perfectly. I absolutely am in awe on what he did across his four issues, I guess. Carolyn, how about you? What'd you think?
Yep, I agree with all that. So as disappointed as I was in Batgirl, I was happy with this. And I think Steve Orlando has done an amazing job, not just showing how much he understands the heart of the character, but also bringing it back from the year of Jason.
Yeah.
I also love Artemis. She's one of my favorite characters, particularly as written by Greg Rucka. But I even liked her from her 90s super bad girl art. I feel like she's the Faith to Wonder Woman's Buffy.
Yes.
Or Buffy and Faith or Wonder Woman and Artemis. But all the stuff about, you know, I don't want to give spoilers either, but, you know, there's a lot of lasso stuff happening and compassion and empathy and trying to talk to people and understand them and get them to understand each other before using force. That's Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that the last page, do you think that person looked like they were exuding something that was possibly purple in color?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I thought so too.
Yeah.
Cryptic.
Yeah. It's grape. It's grape flavored Kool-Aid. There's a mini event crossing between Justice League dark.
Oh, that
Wonder
makes
Woman,
sense.
That it's the witching hour, just in time for Halloween. I think it's 5 issues total. I'm iffy because I'm not big on buying extra books, but we'll see. We'll see. I do. It is intriguing, that last page, I got to say. But then the whole issue wasn't. I gotta say, I was not aware of Roald Allen and Patricia Martin until this. And there's a certain stillness to some of the pages as we're doing the lasso stuff that Carolyn mentioned, where she's using that power in a different way than we've seen it before, but still consistent with what the message has been when done right over all these 75 years. That was absolutely breathtaking. I didn't expect it. And you turn the pages, oh, there's this. This is great.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, we talk a lot about this. There's a lot of buzz sometimes in history that Wonder Woman is a tricky character and you can't do this and you can't do that. There are more good runs than bad. We just came off a really... Phil Jimenez, George...
You mean in the last 20 years?
25 years.
Not in the last 75.
No, not counting Robert Kaniger from the 50s on, or...
Like 25 years.
Yes, it was. And that's really a problem. But in the 30 years...
Except for that 25 years, it's been pretty
good. In the 30 years since George Perez, more good than bad.
Okay, that's fair.
Okay. Again, we had to come off a really miserable period for the last year and some change, which followed one of the best runs in the book, which was Rucka's Rebirth run, which followed 5 years of good stories that weren't Wonder Woman. But this is a nice cherry on the sundae. It's a lovely setup for what I'm sure will be a wonderful run by G. Willow Wilson.
I'm sure it will. And sending all kinds of good thoughts.
Absolutely.
To Willow Wilson.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Melissa.
Yo.
Would you like to lead our discussion about Maneaters?
I'll try.
Bring it.
Yeah.
I have a strong feeling I'm not going to say enough things that Carolyn wants me to say, but I'm going to try. How am I going to say
all these?
Okay.
She's here. She can do it.
Okay. So, Maneaters, number one, a new Image series with writing by Chelsea Kane, with art by, somebody help me here, Kate
Niemczyk.
What?
Kate Niemczyk.
Okay.
It's an N, yeah.
Okay. And cover by Leah Maternik. So, remember that time when Chelsea Kane gave her Mockingbird that cool feminist t-shirt and broke Twitter? I do.
Yeah.
And I'll admit that I went into this hoping for some good old-fashioned feminist rabble-rousing to occur again. Well, maybe without the attack of the man-baby misogynist that ultimately lost us all, Chelsea's tweets. That was super annoying. This book starts out with a tampon hero battle. And then a 12-year-old on a 12-year-old wearing a pink pussy hat whose dad is a homicide detective. So fun already, guys. Maneaters is, as far as I can tell from one issue, a coming-of-age story for one little girl whose dad seems like a really nice dad, but is working hard to figure out how to stop people from getting murdered by girls who change into vicious wildcats after they get their period. You know, Maneaters. And already, this book has talked about real girl life, without calling it gross, more than the entirety of comic book history. So, yeah, awesome story so far. It's appealing and classic art. I think Maneaters is going to be a great series, but despite what some whiny gatekeepers will undoubtedly be shouting into internet space, the messages being spoken and sent here are the true gifts. This, like that feminist agenda beach vacay cover, is as much about a great story as it is about the story being told in the genuine voice of a modern woman without compromise.
Wow.
I think you did really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can all go home.
I said all the bad words for you guys. Now you can go on.
Yeah.
I'll just say super quick and then everybody else can go. I really enjoyed it. It's probably the biggest middle finger that I've read in quite some time. And I delighted in the way that it kind of poked at its the opposite of its audience, I would say. And I don't know, it's funny, I didn't see a whole lot of backlash about it. I don't think I saw anything at all, but I also, maybe I wasn't looking hard enough. But I think it's a really cool start to what I hope to be a good series. And it was quite brutal. Like, I was not expecting it to...
Kitty?
Yeah! That moment, I was like, whoa! We're going for it here. I think it's really neat. I really enjoy the artwork. And I enjoy a good roast. And I'm here for it. Carolyn, what'd you think?
I feel like this might be the new Bitch Planet.
Yeah.
Like, in other
feature,
words, in
yeah.
style, really exaggerating mm-hmm. current views of women to make points about how stereotypes have justified unequal treatment of women and girls for hundreds of years. Stereotypes mm-hmm. that women and girls are just hysterical, bleeding vessels of crazy who are as cunning and violent as cats and just angry at boys and men for no good reason.
I mean, that part is
and
true.
They need to be controlled. Well, maybe we wouldn't be so fucking angry. Oops, excuse yeah. me. If we weren't the objects of discrimination and control for so long. Maybe.
Maybe.
We're losing Carolyn.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was getting shrill, which is another stereotype of women. No, but I loved it. And I also liked that every word in the book was so carefully chosen. Every poster on a wall was carefully chosen. Mm-hmm. The art's great. Mm-hmm. The back matter totally added to the rest. And, you know, on the one hand, you know, I laughed, I smiled. But it also, you also have this sinking feeling like this is how far we haven't come in terms of equality.
Mm-hmm. Carolyn's currently being licked by a cat.
Uh-oh.
Kitty, kitty.
It gonna kill me.
Bob, what are your thoughts?
Look, for me, as expected, honestly, this had just tons of stuff to say, and it did it with style and sass and dark humor. Stunning bit of social commentary, as well as just, like you say, see, it's a middle finger to a lot of stuff. And with all that's going on in the country today, what with, you know, Senate hearings or White House press conferences and all the rest, I found this just to be the just a perfect antidote to my crappy mood.
It's about as timely as it gets.
Yeah.
With this book.
And again, as you say about it being the new Bitch Planet, Carolyn, the idea of the back matter and the little bits and pieces to go with all that stuff you were talking about, Melissa, the messages about real women and real girls into this oddball post-apocalyptic, whatever you we want to call this, the little bits and pieces of whether it's a TV commentator. Menstruation must end, thank you, and God bless America. Come on! And we get to the shocking ending, or whatever you want to call our cliffhanger, that is faced on another page in a lovely pastel-y sort of dusty rose page with a little bird in the center of it, with then a bloody to be continued at the bottom. It is, I don't know, I know it's an oxymoron to say it this way, but it is obviously subtle or subtly obvious. In either case, it's brilliant. Love this book.
There's nothing subtle about this book.
Not at all.
Well, there are levels.
It's like, hey, Chelsea, yeah, we hear you loud and clear. Everybody's going to talk about periods now.
And I like Mr. Misogyny, I thought was fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
That opening sequence was so good. I'd heard about it, and then I didn't know it was the first page. I opened it up. I was like, oh boy, here we go. So much fun. Alrighty. Let's talk about this X-Men Dark Phoenix trailer that came out this past week. Now, hold on. Everybody will get their turn.
I didn't do anything but snort. All I did was snort, okay?
You, I didn't you say scoffed, anything. Good sir.
I did.
How dare you? How dare you? This is the X-Men.
Your favorite movie franchise.
Yeah, all right. In all seriousness, I don't know how this conversation is going to go because I pretty much, I could, I'm feeling out the room right now. So I'm going to be careful not to dump on it too hard.
Good for you. It's a nice attitude.
Everybody that listens to this podcast knows that the X-Men movies are not my favorite movies among the many comic book things that are out there. They just don't do enough for me. They don't utilize the characters in ways that I want to see. And every time that I think that the next movie that comes out is going to be the one to do it, it doesn't happen. Really liked First Class. I dug Apocalypse, I think, when I saw it, and then saw it again and was like, what? Anyway, for Dark Phoenix, I'm not feeling much. The trailer to me was very bleak. It was very oppressive. Continuing this like super serious thing. We're doing the whole Jean Grey thing again, which I hate to say it because I know that we have a lot of Phoenix and Jean Grey fans, but I just don't have an interest in seeing that again. And not to mention that like the X-Men timeline by this time, with all this stuff happening and all the characters that exist in that universe, it's all messed up. And I can't keep track of anything anymore. Hopefully I'm wrong. I will definitely go and see the movie and check it out when it comes out. But I don't know. I'm not particularly feeling it yet. I would like to hear from Bob.
Well, here's the thing. You said seeing it again. And I think that's the key to this. This looks not like the Dark Phoenix saga of Chris Claremont and John Byrne. This is, the movie hasn't come out, so I'm not going to say inferior because it isn't out yet. It is a remake of The Last Stand. Only you now don't have any history with these actors and actresses in the way we did with Famke Janssen and James Marsden and Hugh Jackman and the rest. So if all we're going to do is remake that and it's going to be Phoenix fighting tanks, why bother? With today's technology, why aren't we doing Lalandra and the Planet of the Broccoli people and taking this out into space and being cosmic in the way that a movie like Doctor Strange got to, or Ant-Man and the Wasp? Why can't we go there? This is useless. This is just a useless waste of hundreds of millions of dollars that could be much better spent on something else, like anything.
All right. Who's playing with the microphone?
Me.
I pounded
the table.
Knock it off. Melissa, what do you think? Anything?
I don't have a lot of thoughts on this. The X-Men for me are kind of like Marvel. I enjoy the movies, but I don't really read the comics. So I kind of go into them without a whole lot of, preconceived ideas of who people should or shouldn't be, or what I want the stories to do. So I think I can enjoy them a little bit differently because I just don't have a lot of, I don't have a lot of ideas.
Ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, exactly. And, I've always enjoyed the X-Men movies, some more than others. I do have a really hard time thinking of Jean Grey as anyone other than Famke Janssen, I will say. She's pretty, like, rock in my head. Mm-hmm. So in watching this trailer, it just, like, it didn't make the connection for me. To see her in such a different form. We're huge Game of Thrones fans in my house too, so it is really hard to see that particular actress is
Sophie Turner.
Yeah, and in something different right now. When we're, getting ready to enter the final season of Game of Thrones. So there's a lot of disconnections for me.
Yeah, sure.
And I didn't see a lot of things in it that got me like super excited to where I, was able to overcome those disconnections to get like into X-Men world. Although I will see anything with Michael Fassbender in it. So I'll definitely see it.
Ah, the Fassy.
The Fassy. I will see it. But I don't know if I'll enjoy it.
And last but certainly not least, Carolyn.
Rage.
Okay, that's accurate. That is an accurate summary. I found this trailer infuriating.
Tell me why.
Because because the Dark Phoenix saga is all about Jean in the comics, right? And it's about power, and it's about love and strength and sacrifice and family and teamwork. And the cartoon version of it, for all you X-Men the Animated Series fans, basically also did that as well. And then X-Men The Last Stand did not do that, no. You know? And even now, after all the very negative reviews of X-Men The Last Stand, they do the same thing that got them those negative reviews, which is that Jean is out of control and irrational and hysterical and crazy, and she has to be controlled by men. And Professor X and Magneto are foregrounded and are literally telling her story in the trailer. It's basically Man-Eaters without the irony, because now there's a younger Jean, right? Yeah. And I do agree with Melissa. Famke Janssen is my movie Jean. That doesn't mean that Sophie Turner's not a good actress, but you're basically making her younger and telling the same story. So I feel like, again, X-Men The Last Stand got a lot of bashing. And so what do? They hired the person who wrote the worst X-Men movie to write and direct this X-Men movie. Why? You know, just because they already know him. I mean, Hollywood has. Yes. And Hollywood has to stop doing this. Don't just hire the person you know because you know them. Just like you shouldn't have hired the showrunner of the worst Marvel Netflix series, Iron Fist Season 1, to be the showrunner of The Inhumans just because you already knew him. Stop. Give new talent a chance. They're out there. Just look. Mm-hmm. And you know what?
And another thing.
Let women tell their own stories. And when we tell those stories, listen to us and believe us. But
yes.
If you want more detail on all this kind of stuff, I don't usually do this, but I'm just going to say it. The chapter of my book that's about the X-Men has a lot of detail about the differences between all of the comics that were adapted into the animated series and then adapted into films, and how they're different and why they're different and why those decisions were made. So if you're interested in this kind of stuff, check it out. But the basic pattern is that a lot of the comics that were adapted had complex and interesting female X-Men starring. And then in the movies, they were kind of stereotyped or sidelined. And that's just unfortunate. It doesn't have to be this way. Dark Phoenix is probably the most closely held and most popular X-Men story in the history of the X-Men. It's not that hard to get it right. They got it right for the animated series. You can get it right for a movie. Don't tell exactly the same story that's so close to the last one that you can overlay the narration for the first trailer onto the second trailer.
I'm going to try that.
Okay, I'm done. I'm sorry, but I am angry.
No, you don't have to apologize.
It's just that it's a ton of money. You're hiring the same person who wrote a bad movie to write another movie, and the trailers are almost identical. Like, they've learned nothing.
I have to go back and watch that trailer for that movie, Last Stand.
Someone
has very helpfully put the narration for The Last Stand over the new movie.
Oh.
Or no, it's the other way around. They put the narration for the new movie over The Last Stand. And you can see that even some shots are exactly the same.
That's all right. The Aquaman trailer was an awful lot like the Black Panther trailer. Just saying. Like, if you watch them side by side, it's pretty uncanny.
X-Men pun.
To that movie. Carol, didn't even mean to do it.
Yeah. Carol, while we have you here, the Captain Marvel trailer, what did you think?
Oh, I loved it.
Okay, good.
I particularly loved the turning the word her into hero and the montage of her getting older and getting up after being down. I don't know what, you know, normals think, non-comics readers think of it, but I guess we'll find out.
We shall find out. We will talk a little bit of Captain Marvel in just a second. Quick update, as per our last podcast, we asked our listeners if they prefer their Team Bat-Butt or Team Night-Ass, or both are Bat-tastic. 75% of you are Team Night Ass. So, you like the Nightwing?
Yes. Could have told you that.
Yeah, well, it's the correct answer. So, there you go.
Well, as drawn by Nicholas Scott or Mikael Hanin, you know, they draw either of them.
True. I have seen a few wobbly Nightwing butts in my day.
I have no idea what this is about. But it's firmly vote really on that ass. Butt.
Oh.
He does a lot of flying around. He's a fun.
I just like the way it sounds. Bad butt. No idea what this is about.
You're voting for words.
That's right.
Bad butt. Bad butt. It just rolls off the tongue. Bad butt.
It does. Okay. We have we don't have an announcement. Marvel has an announcement, a huge one. Carolyn, actually, do you want to take this or should we?
No.
No, you don't want to.
No. Okay. There's a new Captain Marvel series. It's going to launch in January, written by Kelly Thompson, which makes sense because we know Kelly Thompson has written Captain Marvel, or at least co-written, mm-hmm. and done so very well. My only objection, which is a fake objection, is that how many more things can the woman write?
Yeah, when does she sleep?
But I think she is the perfect choice to take on the character, and she seems very aware of the history of the character, which P.S. is chapter 6 in my book.
We're gonna have to talk to you about sponsorship fees.
Which I just reread, which it is an awesome chapter.
Okay, thanks. But no, she seems really aware of the history. And in the New York Times piece that is announcing this, there is an illustration that has maybe 9 illustrations on it that like kind of shows her in how she's changed over time. Mm-hmm. So even just that one page illustration alone by the artist, which is who?
Carmen Carnero.
Oh, thank you. Just really shows that they have a grasp on where the character has come from and how she's changed over time. And that's a great way to, and they're also very aware of the movie. And they want to be able to take that history, keep fans of the character who are longstanding, but also launch a new series that will bring in new people and get people excited for the movie. So it all sounds very positive.
Yeah. Yeah. Kelly Thompson said it was in that very end of that Times piece. You really want her to be accessible to new and younger audiences who are going to see the movie, fall in love, and want to seek out other Captain Marvel stories, Ms. Thompson said. But you really want to respect the fans who've loved the character for decades. I think there's a razor's edge there.
Right. Like, you don't want to spend the entire calendar year after the movie telling a story about Captain Marvel's brother.
His brother. Exactly.
For instance.
There you go.
That's what you don't want to do.
Yeah. And they're bringing her back to New York and a supporting cast that will include Jessica Drew and some romance. May or may not be James Rhodes, because last we knew he was dead in one of their events, but it's comics. Doesn't mean Rhodey can't be back.
Is it?
That's not Donut Boy, but you never know. Lewis could move from Maine to New York and open a donut shop. His got destroyed by the Cree lady last time. So, you know.
Good. Let him make Alley donuts.
I'm so psyched for this. I have been enjoying what Margaret Stoll's doing, which apparently is the setup for getting people to the movie and sort of merging the various bits and pieces. And then when I saw this today, Kelly Thompson, perfect. Perfection.
Mm-hmm. Could not agree more. Super excited to read this. All right. Let's move on. We have a listener question / reaction.
Really?
Hi again. Yeah, hi again. Thanks for the recommendations last week. Really looking forward to Rainbow Bright. Whitley! Oh, he knows the thing. So where should I go during this con weekend? It is my first time after all. Joey, longtime listener, first time caller. He signs it the same every time.
I am suspicious.
Who is
I don't know. He
Joey.
Seems pretty cool. I mean, he listens to the show, so he knows where to be if, you know, he wants to hang out with everybody.
if he got recommendations last week, doesn't that make him a second time caller?
Oh, I wasn't going to say anything. You outed him just now.
This guy sounds awfully familiar.
All right.
Well, sadly, he can't go to Jeremy Whitley's table because Jeremy Whitley this year is a nomad.
But he doesn't have a table?
Doesn't have a table. He's going to wander around the room.
He should set up outside the con.
I feel like that's becoming like a thing this year. It's not the
yes,
first
all the cool people.
That's not the first creator we've talked about who's doing that.
Indeed.
Times, they are changing.
So, Joey, you should run right over to the Katie Cook section. Get yourself a drawing of Patsy Walker. That's what you want to do first. Because Katie Cook's line will back up out the door before you know it. So you got to get there first.
It always does. Not like the olden days.
And about...
You could just jump on. Go ahead, Melissa.
About 3 hours into the show, find Bob and I. We'll be sitting on the floor by the front door, chugging a beer.
Yep, a Brooklyn Defender ale and watching the cosplayers assemble.
Wow, look at you two with the plans. You have lawn chairs?
Oh, that's a good idea.
You should those
chair in a bag.
That have lawn chairs on.
Yeah.
Those backpack chairs and just plant them, put them down randomly in the floor, sit and drink a beer.
Right, sit there in a Hawaiian shirt.
Watch this.
Sit there and watch.
Best seat in the house.
Yeah, actually, for all the time we spend sitting on floors, why don't we each bring like a chair cushion or something?
You need Pimtech is what you need. You need a little baby chair that you can like put an eyedropper on and just whoosh, and you can just sit on it.
I want to bring one of those giant inflatable things. Like the chairs that you inflate.
Like an air mattress, yeah.
All right. Let's rope this in a little bit.
Yeah, way.
And, tomorrow, Wednesday, well, when you're listening to this, it's Wednesday, hopefully. It's New Comic Book Day, and on New Comic Book Day, new comic books come out.
What?
So,
what a concept.
It's a new thing. All the kids are doing it. All right. Bob, what books are you looking forward to this week?
Well, we've got Giant Days and Paper Girls, so that's always a great double feature. Batman, of course. We'll see what's going on over there. As Guardians of the Galaxy, number 2. Definitely want to check in on where we're going with that. Not sure if I'm picking it up or waiting for the con, but the Dead Hand trade paperback came out, which I was enjoying that spy novel sort of cross with computer post-apocalypse stuff. So, but the book I'm really looking the most forward to this week, it's Wonder Woman Earth 1 Volume 2, and I'm looking forward to it because I'm going to ignore it completely.
Oh, Bob.
Harsh.
Bob, what about Wonder Woman and Justice League Dark?
I'm going to have to crack it open and get a look. Not sure. What are you thinking on that one?
I don't know. Maybe a flip through?
New Justice League Dark? I like it. I like it a lot. No?
You mean you like it currently or you like it as a concept?
No, I like it currently. The new Justice League Dark book?
Oh, no, I haven't read it at all.
No, I've read the first 2 issues. I thought it was very good.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I thought it was really good. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, if you get your hands on it, check it out.
All right, I'll put it down, but I'm going to bill you $3 if it's not good.
Sure. Or you can just use my stuff, which is open to you guys at all times, and you can just read it there. Or purchase it for yourselves, whichever. Melissa, what are your books coming up this week?
Guess what's coming back this week? Umbrella Academy.
Really?
Ooh. Umbrella Academy.
Wasn't that Umbrella Academy like 2 months ago?
I don't think so. Not according to Dark Horse Comics.
They would know.
I'll look it up for you, but go ahead.
Umbrella Academy Hotel Oblivion, number 1. I'm super excited to read some more Umbrella Academy. And Image has a couple cool things coming out. Blackbird number 1 from Jen Bartel. And I guess there's also another cover you can get from Fiona Staples.
Ooh.
Saga!
Goodbye!
Let's see, what was the other one that I was excited about? I can't find it. Redlands number 7. Redlands is still an awesome, awesome story, you guys.
That's the Jordi Belair?
Oh, yeah, no. About the okay. Witches.
Yes,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't know. There was something else that I lost track of on my list here. I can't find it now.
I am looking at my collection right now. I have a digital copy of the Umbrella Academy Hotel Oblivion.
What?
Yep. I've had it for a while. So I don't know what's up with that.
I don't know.
Maybe it's a print version. Maybe it was a digital only at first, and then it's going to print.
That's strange.
I don't know. Any other books for you?
No, I'm confused.
I'm sorry. Carolyn, are you picking anything up this week?
I know that there's a new Paper Girls tomorrow, but I've been reading it in trade. I just wanted to mention it because it's so good. I'm looking forward to reading volume 3 of the Faith Erin Hicks Nameless City series.
Ooh.
Number 1 and number 2 were pretty awesome.
Yes, they were.
And I'm looking forward to an academic book, which, believe it or not, was mentioned in the new comic book lists, which surprised me. It's called Gender in the Superhero Narrative. And I actually have already read most of it because people have sent me things in it before it was published. But I'm looking forward to the finished product because they cover a lot of characters that I have not. So,
well, there you go. Companion so volume cool. In its own way.
Yeah.
They talk about things that are not in Carolyn's book.
Which is
my Eisner Award winning
book.
Oh my God.
Actually, this started this has become a terrible joke between me and my daughter because totally innocently once she was making a comment and I said, oh, I say something like that in my book. And that was it. And then like a couple days later, it happened again. And I said it more obnoxiously, like, oh, yeah, I said something like that in my book. And she's like, yeah, your Eisner Award winning book. So then from then on, if anything is like tangentially related to my book in my house, I'm like, Anna, as I say in my Eisner Award winning book, it drives her nuts, which is really fun.
Yeah.
So I just inflicted awesome. That on all of you too.
It was awesome. When's the follow-up book coming out?
Check your mailbox.
Okay.
I don't know.
She's crawled all right. Up when you said that.
I am also purchasing comics this week. Lollipop Kids number 1 from Aftershock. We talked a lot about them last week. Is coming out. This looks really cool. It's more about the art that's drawing me to the book. I'm just now reading the synopsis. It says, when immigrants came to the new world, they didn't only bring their hopes and dreams, they also brought their monsters. Years ago, early settlers locked these monsters away in a secret prison deep in the woods of New Amsterdam so that they would never return to the old world again. Those woods have become Central Park, and in the old... And now the monsters have escaped. And then it goes on to tell you about the kids that are in the thing. It looks like Stranger Things in the city with like all kinds of creepy crawlies. Ooh. Running around. It looks like a lot of fun. Art is definitely cool. I'm gonna give that one a look. I also have Giant Days number 43, Batman 56, Blackbird number 1, Dead Rabbit number 1 also comes out, as well as Juke Joint number 1.
Oh,
also gonna
that.
Check
yeah.
that out. And Paper Girls number 25, of course, Redlands number 7, that's returning this coming week, As Guardians of the Galaxy, Cosmic Ghost Rider number 4, which has been so good throughout, and Deadpool number 5, Scotty Young, gonna get that too. So yeah, so those are my books for this week, probably one or two others depending, and that's it. Does anybody have any closing statements before we get out of here? Anything they want to share? Any last words about NYCC?
No.
Looking forward to it.
Yes, that's what we need to say. Yes, we are all looking forward to being in each other's company and all you good folks out there. as well.
Sweet. All right.
Now, I do have something to say, though, if you don't mind indulging me for a second. Melissa, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, what was I going to say? I don't know. I just want to say, yeah, if you guys see us at the con, you know, like, just say hi, because we usually don't bite people.
Hard.
Well, Bob doesn't.
And because I'll be with, at least for some days, with Melissa and Carolyn, people might even be able to find me for a change. Instead of I'm this.
You're the easiest
figure.
One to find. Yeah. You're Bob, like a foot taller than us.
You're the easiest one to find.
Bob has this magical ability to be found at cons, even though he refuses to use a cell phone. which I had a conversation with one of our listeners about that today, as a matter of fact, and she shared her story of finding Bob too randomly.
Really? Who?
At the con.
Who?
Our blue girl.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So she's going to be there bravely, tagging along her niece and nephew at the show.
That's the best. That is the best. Awesome.
Bob, how about you? What are your closing statements?
Well, as we record, today is October 2nd, and that's my mom's birthday. So for all she did, I can't thank her enough, but the one thing I want to make sure to mention today, she gave me the gift of reading. Mm-hmm. Sat me on her lap and got me started, and I'm not the person I am at all without my mother, obviously, and the lessons she taught me about how you treat people and all the rest of that jazz. But that someone took enough time to teach a little person to read and stuck at it, and it was, you read for fun. It's not just what you do in school. We read. Mm-hmm. So, thanks, Mom.
Aw. Happy birthday. That's awesome. Thank you, Bob.
Yay, moms.
Yay, moms, yes. Exactly.
Moms are the best. All right. That's going to do it for this week's edition of the Talking Comics Podcast. As always, you can send us your comments or questions through our email, podcast@talkingcomicbooks.com. We are also on Twitter @TalkingComics. Don't forget to check out TalkingComicBooks.com for news, reviews, and articles about comics, video games, TV shows, and much more. We have a whole bunch of podcasts. There's Talking Games, Valiant, Adventure, Ladies of Valhalla. Bob, where can our listeners find you?
Hanging out with Melissa and Carolyn, but beyond that, Bob Ryer @TalkingComicBooks.com on the old-fashioned email.
Excellent. How about you, Melissa?
You can find me at Lissa Punch on Twitter, Instagram, and you can also find me on the Sirens of Scream podcast when I'm not hanging out with these guys.
Oh, yeah. And how about you, Carolyn?
Mostly with these guys and via email at coca.c@oldwestbury.edu.
Excellent. I am @dead_anchoress on both Twitter and Instagram. I will not be going to New York City Comic Con, but I send everyone my love, and I hope you all have a great, great time. Be careful, hang with good people, and enjoy yourselves. All right, so for Bob.
I would do the higher, further, faster, more, but I don't think we could do that, so I'm just going to say, Joey!
Melissa.
The con is on.
Carolyn.
I got nothing. See you this weekend, everybody.
All right. I'm Steve. Be excellent to each other. Loan someone a comic book. And until next time on the Talking Comics Podcast, to be continued.